Let's read together 1 Chronicles chapter 17. In this chapter, we have God's unconditional covenant made with David and his descendants. It is known as the Davidic covenant. Let's begin by reading the first 15 verses of the chapter. Now it came to pass, when David was dwelling in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under tent curtains." Then Nathan said to David, "Do all that is in your heart, for God is with you." But it happened that night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, you shall not build me a house to dwell in. For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought up Israel, even to this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to another. Wherever I have moved about with all Israel, have I ever spoken a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a name like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously, since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel. Also, I will subdue all your enemies. Furthermore, I tell you that the Lord will build you a house or dynasty. And it shall be, when your days are fulfilled, when you must go to be with your fathers, that I will set up your seed after you, who will be of your sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And I will not take my mercy away from him, as I took it from him who was before you. And I will establish him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever." According to all these words and according to all this vision, so Nathan spoke to David. Let's begin our study of this chapter, 1 Chronicles chapter 17, with some background notes. In 1 Chronicles chapters 15 and 16, we have the record of the Ark of the Covenant being brought up to Jerusalem in the right way, and then the great time of celebration and worship that took place as the Ark was installed in its special tent in Jerusalem. Now here in chapter 17, we read of David's desire to build a temple to house the Ark of the Covenant. David said, "Why should I dwell in a nice house while the ark is only in a simple tent?" When David shared this with Nathan, the prophet, at first Nathan thought this was a great idea, and he told David to go for it. And we probably would have done the same thing. But God had other ideas. David's desire was good and honorable, and his heart was right. But David was not God's choice to build a temple. David's son Solomon was to build a temple. We learn from what we read in 1 Chronicles chapter 22 that because David had been a warrior and had shed much blood, the Lord had chosen Solomon to build the temple in a time of peace and quiet in Israel. Notice here at the beginning of 1 Chronicles chapter 17 how God wanted David to know that the Lord's presence in the midst of his people was far more important than having a temple for the Ark of the Covenant. After all, for more than 400 years, the Ark of the Covenant was not in a temple during the time of the wilderness wanderings and all during the times of the judges. And yet the Lord was there with his people. This, by the way, is a great lesson for God's people today. The Lord is more interested in being in fellowship with his people than in his people constructing great and glorious church buildings. The Lord did want David to know that the desire of his heart was honorable and commendable, as we've mentioned. And it was at this point that the Lord revealed to David that his dynasty would never come to an end, something unheard of in ancient days. This unconditional covenant that God made with David is known as the Davidic covenant. And that brings us to our doctrinal teaching points for this chapter. So doctrinal point number one, the Davidic covenant is an unconditional covenant. The Davidic covenant is an unconditional covenant. Let's read the rest of the chapter, verses 16 through 27. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me this far? And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O God. And you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come, and have regarded me according to the rank of a man of high degree, O Lord God. What more can David say to you for the honor of your servant? For you know your servant. O Lord, for your servant's sake and according to your own heart, you have done all this greatness in making known all these great things. O Lord, there is none like you, nor is there any God beside you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on the earth whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, to make for yourself a name by great and awesome deeds, by driving out nations from before your people whom you redeemed from Egypt? For you have made your people Israel your very own people forever, and you, Lord, have become their God. And now, O Lord, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, let it be established forever, and do as you have said. So let it be established that your name may be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, is Israel's God. And let the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O my God, have revealed to your servant that you will build him a house. Therefore your servant has found it in his heart to pray before you. And now, Lord, you are God and have promised this goodness to your servant. Now you have been pleased to bless the house of your servant that it may continue before you forever. For you have blessed it, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever. Notice here in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, the emphasis on the word forever in this covenant that God made with David. Verses 11 and 12, and verse 14, and verse 23, and verse 27. Now you have been pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. For you have blessed it, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever. The Davidic covenant is an unconditional covenant. This means that no matter what David's descendants would do or not do, the Davidic dynasty would continue forever. But wait a minute, you say. There's no king reigning in Israel today. Israel has a president and a prime minister. And wasn't the Mosaic covenant conditional? And the blessings for Israel would continue only if the people followed the Lord. But if they turned away from the Lord, which they did, the conditional promises would be made void. Yes, all of this is true. Well, then how do you put all of this together? No problem. The Mosaic covenant was conditional. And because Israel did not follow the Lord, but forsook the Lord, the nation forfeited the blessings of the law and reaped the cursings of the law. In fact, Israel experienced defeat and captivity, and as a nation, they were set aside in 70 AD. But the Mosaic covenant also stipulated that if God's people would return to the Lord after having forsaken him, God would graciously restore his people. Read Deuteronomy chapter 30 in this connection. I'm reading from Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning at verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. Romans chapter 11 assures us that the time will come when Israel as a nation will return to the Lord. And the Lord will not only restore them to their ancient homeland as a secular nation, which has already happened, but will change their hearts of unbelief and restore them to himself. Now, the Davidic covenant, of course, is fulfilled in Christ. The unconditional terms of the Davidic covenant were that the dynasty of David and Solomon would never come to an end. The Lord Jesus, as Israel's Messiah, was born in the line of David and Solomon. In the last chapter of the Bible, the Lord says that he is the root and offspring of David, Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. The Davidic dynasty has not ended and never will. The Davidic covenant is an unconditional covenant. Doctrinal point number two. The Davidic throne is an earthly throne. The Davidic throne is an earthly throne. Again, notice God's promise to David about his descendants, beginning with Solomon. Verse 12, he shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. And verse 14, and I will establish him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. Question, is the unending Davidic throne promised here a literal throne here on this earth? Or is it some kind of spiritual throne in heaven or in the church? We believe it is a literal earthly throne. This is certainly the way David would have understood this promise and covenant. Now it's true that God has his throne in heaven, and the Lord is our king and reigns in our hearts, and so forth. But the promise here is to David and his literal descendants. And the promise is of a literal kingdom and literal throne. In Revelation chapter 19, the Apostle John sees in his vision the Lord returning to this earth as king. We read in Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, that he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then in Revelation chapter 20, we read of the millennial kingdom of our Lord here on this earth. He will reign from his throne in the beloved city of Jerusalem. Believers will reign with Christ in this thousand-year earthly kingdom, which will merge with the new Jerusalem and the eternal state. The Davidic throne is an earthly throne. Now, what about practical application from 1 Chronicles chapter 17? Let's have the same attitude as David. Let's have the same attitude as David. David showed a wonderful attitude both before and after the Davidic covenant was made. Before the covenant, David was convicted about the need for the house of the Lord. David had a nice house, but what about the house of the Lord? I trust that we are more concerned for the house of the Lord than for our own houses. Let's have the same attitude as David. After the covenant was given, David was very appreciative of the grace that had been shown him. Verse 16, then David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? What more can David say to you for the honor of your servant, for you know your servant? You know, I understand that it was these verses in this section of 1 Chronicles chapter 17 that inspired the former slave trader, John Newton, to write the hymn, Amazing Grace. Let's have the same attitude as David.